Hey friends, welcome to the Life on Purpose podcast. If you are a first-time listener, I am so glad you're here. The goal of Life on Purpose is to leave you feeling inspired and encouraged in your next brave steps. We all know that the journey to uncovering confidence starts with a mindset shift, and it's not always easy to do. I hope that today's episode is a reminder that you don't have to do it alone, and that I'm here to help you change your life by reclaiming your biggest superpower, which is confidence. At the end of today's episode, I would be most grateful for you to help me spread inspiration to others by rating, reviewing, and sharing Life on Purpose with friends and family. Enjoy. Well, welcome everyone to the Life on Purpose podcast. I am so excited to have my dear friend, Dr. Sasha Shilkut on. She is an amazing human being. She just has it all going on. She's a physician, gender equity researcher, speaker, author, wife, mom of four kids, and founder and CEO of Brave Enough. So welcome, Sasha. I'm so excited to have you this morning.
Thank you, Amy. I'm excited to chat with you. You and I could talk for hours.
We have a lot of similarities. And when you have four kids, I feel like we're just kind of like kindred spirits just because of that.
Yes, 100%.
We totally get it. Well, so I loved Sasha. And if you have not picked this up, grab a copy of Between Grit and Grace. That was Sasha's first book. But today we are going to dive a little bit deeper into her newest release, which is called Brave Boundaries. So I am so excited for that. I'm also going to be giving a copy of Sasha's book away when this episode releases. So be sure to listen and follow for all the details for that. I know you, and we just briefly touched on this, that you just had your oldest leave for college. And so this podcast is Life on Purpose, but this past year, I've really honed in on the topic of courage and living with confidence and what that's like. And so letting your child go takes a lot of courage and confidence. Mm-hmm. And so let me just ask you that as a first question, how was that transition for you as a mom?
Oh, it was so hard. It was harder than I expected it to be. I had kind of been preparing myself for a year to do it. And I knew that it was going to be difficult. He was my oldest, and he is just super special to me in the fact that he's kind of the emotional caretaker of our family. He's an Enneagram 9. He's the peacemaker. He's extremely loving and caring. And I knew it was going to be hard just for selfish reasons, because I'm so used to him being there to just uplift everyone. But I can tell you that the book that I wrote and the boundaries that I'm so passionate about, I learned all about boundaries and how I had zero and I needed them, because 2 years ago, I will never forget where I was. I was sitting in Florida looking at the ocean, and I had this jolting thought that I only had 2 years left with my oldest son. And I looked at all of the things I was doing, the traveling, the speaking, the writing, the podcast, all these things that are all like positive, wonderful things, but that were going to be competing with the time left to spend with my son. Yeah. And I made radical changes, set those boundaries. And through that whole process, when I dropped him off at Baylor, I was like, I have no regrets. Like, I look back for the last 2 years and I have no regrets, because I wasn't thinking about the missed talks that I didn't get to give, or the missed courses that I didn't teach, or I wasn't thinking about my finances and the loss of income from saying no to speaking engagements. All I was thinking about was how fast time went and how glad I was that I made those changes.
I love that, because that to me is exactly what I want to encourage in other women, is making those decisions in such a way of like feeling so confident that you have no regrets. And I love that you said that, because I think that there's a lot of times we don't know how to get to that point. And so this is what I love about the book, is that it's not only an acknowledgement like, oh, I wish I had more boundaries, or how can I establish them and change certain things, but you know, taking it a step further and actually doing it. You know, I think a lot of times we get stuck in our we get caught in our own way. You know what I mean? We want something to change, but you know, we have a hard time transitioning and making that happen. And so I think this is such a great resource for women. And, you know, boundaries is, it's funny that if we're talking about this today, because that is something I have always struggled with. Mm-hmm. I have been somebody who, you know, has just been not good with that in relationships and saying no to things that I should be saying no to. And again, I love that you also pointed out that all the things that you're doing that you have your hands in right now, are all wonderful things. And I think that's important to recognize that is that we can say no confidently to some great things to establish some boundaries that are really going to fulfill us later on. And I'm so glad that you have that when you took, you know, dropped your son off, because that is such a monumental moment that you're never going to get back, but you can feel good about it. You can rest in that now because you did the work. And so I want you to talk a little bit about that. How women can begin that process. You know, like I said, I think it's easy for us to say, oh, you know, I wish I had done this or I wish I had done that, but what is your recommendation? What is the first step?
Great question. So in the book, I talk about doing a boundary inventory, and I divide it up into six sections of your life. Most of us have really good boundaries in specific areas, and maybe one or two areas where we have no boundaries. And we don't even know, we can't, it's really maybe hard for us to conceptualize how we would set a boundary, because we're either in a situation where we feel like we would be disappointing someone, or we would be letting someone down, or someone really depends on us. And I think that is the beauty of this book, is at the end of every chapter, I have you do like exercises to go through your own boundaries. But what was so key for me to understand is that most of the time when we talk about boundaries, we talk about toxic people, or we think we're talking about like toxic relationships or people or your job or something. But a boundary doesn't just keep the bad out, it keeps the good in. And when you have really good things, those good things, if you don't have boundaries around them, they become a drain. They become a toxic thing. It's really true. And so the first step is actually identifying what areas of your life are, you have like your biggest, I call it your biggest pain point. Mm-hmm. That area that you are like, I'm really bad at this, or I can't even face it, so I'm just going to ignore it. Right. Or I don't even want to be around this person because I don't know how to say no. Mm-hmm. Or I can't say no because I'll be letting them down. So the first step is to take that inventory and think about your biggest pain point. And then I take you through something called the boundary thought model, which is super simple. And it basically breaks down the truth, breaks down like reality from what you think is, oh, I think this person's going to be mad at me. I think they're going to yell at me. I think I'll never get asked to speak again if I say no, or whatever we have in our mind. And then we break down just the truth. And then we go through an exercise of practicing setting the boundary to ourselves. And then who do we have to share it with? So I put strategies in there because this is not something I learned. Like no one taught me how to do this. Yeah. And I've been to many leadership classes and emotional intelligence courses. And so I put very simple strategies for women in the book, because I think any of us can learn how to do this.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And it's so funny because I created a course and I've been doing some coaching, and my first step into confidence coaching is taking inventory. And so there is something to be said for that. You can't really move ahead if you don't even really haven't taken full inventory of what's going on in your own life. And sometimes it's hard to know until you're really sitting down and being honest with yourself and writing these things, putting them on paper, speaking them aloud. And I love that you kind of mentioned almost when you're doing like strategies to help with boundaries and stuff is to practice them. And sometimes it's awkward, don't you think, Sasha?
But 100%.
So necessary to be able to just kind of start the process of saying no to, like you said, whether it's a good thing or not, it's going to also make those good things in your life that much better, mm-hmm. having had set up the proper boundaries at the right times. And I think that's also key. What would you say about that? Like your timing on things?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, if you think about it, okay, so I think most of us as women show up to 99% of what people ask us to do. The problem is we're showing up at about 50 to 60%, maybe 25%.
Right.
We very rarely have enough energy and focus and time to show up to anything 100% because we are so used to overfunctioning. It's like our baseline as women, we overfunction, we overcommit. And so the timing piece is super important because number one, at some point you're going to have to put a stop. You're going to have to set boundaries. You might find yourself having to set boundaries when you have broken relationships already, when you are adopting a numbing, escaping behavior every night because you can't deal with how overwhelmed and exhausted you are. My hope is for the reader that that doesn't happen. If it does, though, I can coach you through that in the book. You want to set boundaries when you're in a place where you actually have clarity and you're rested and you can be like, okay, I have 3 hours this month to dedicate to this. I'm being asked to dedicate 10. I can't do that, right? So the timing's important because most of us don't set any boundaries when we're exhausted. We may think, oh, I'm just too tired, I can't do that. We actually do the opposite. When we are so tired, we don't have the energy to set a boundary. We just end up saying yes. We're like the email that the ask sits there in our inbox, like someone asks us to do something, it just sits there and we ignore it. We know we want to say no, but we don't have the energy to say no. And so what happens? 2 weeks go by and then we just say yes because we're like, we don't have the energy to say no.
Right.
So the timing is really important. You have to be rested and you have to be, you know, relaxed and you have to have clarity in order to set boundaries. So in the book, I kind of have you do that inventory. Because if you're exhausted and burned out, you're not going to have the energy to set boundaries.
Right. One of the things I love that you just mentioned that I never really even thought about in creating boundaries, because mine was more relational. And so when you had talked about a friendship or a relationship, breakup or struggle or whatever, that was really with the prompting for me that, okay, I need to really reevaluate and set better boundaries. And I had to learn that the hard way. So I'm glad you bring that up. But the other thing that you had just mentioned that I never really thought about was the timing in the sense of, okay, I only have 3 hours, but these tasks or requests are requiring 10 or maybe they're 8 or whatever it is. But it's also a matter of knowing that, of knowing how much free time you actually have. And I think that you're right. Sometimes as women, we're always on that hamster wheel and maybe even taking the time to find out how much free time do I actually have? And I don't think a lot of times women do that. So you bringing that up was like, that's a great stopping point right there to just even reflect on, do I even know how much free time I have this month to make those wise and smart decisions in what is being asked of me?
Yes. And boundaries, if you think about it, are all about managing your time and energy. I define it as, here are your priorities. And you may say, oh, my priorities are my kids or my marriage or my, you know, my passion or my mission or my career or whatever. And there's no right or wrong. Everybody has different priorities. Yeah. Do your priorities match your calendar? Because if they don't, I mean, your calendar is a really good, realistic view of your actual priorities. You may say, oh, I put my family first, but do you? Are you putting, I mean, I'm asking, these are the hard questions I ask myself.
Sure.
So a boundary allows you to live your priorities. It's like it matches your priorities with your calendar. That's how I see it. And I am the only person who can set boundaries for myself. Like my husband doesn't know, my kids don't know. I have to set boundaries and say, okay, this month is crazy busy. My kids are going back to school. I'm launching a child to college. I'm preparing for a book launch. So August, I have no time for anyone else but my family. Like everything that comes in my inbox, as shiny and pretty and wonderful as it is, has to be a no. And that's really what I did in August. I set like super strict boundaries and people were like, oh, but I see you have a week of vacation. I'm like, yes, not to do what you're asking me to do. We have to get real with ourselves because we don't often actually look at our calendar ahead and go, oh my gosh, this December is going to be really busy on me or really emotional. Maybe there's, you know, a loss that you're going to want to give yourself emotional space to grieve, to remember. Maybe there's some family that you have to visit that is maybe difficult for you. Whatever it is, like, we have to give ourselves emotional boundaries as well. And once you start doing that, you realize, like, people actually respect you for your boundaries. Because when you set a boundary with someone, what you're saying is, I'm a person who is being transparent with you about my boundaries. You can be transparent with me about yours, and I will respect them.
Yeah.
And you actually, you know, we have this illusion because we love to be loved as women. We don't want to be liked. We want everyone to like us. We have this illusion, Amy, that if I set a boundary with this person, they're going to just never speak to me again, or they're going to get angry at me, or they're going to be really emotionally upset with me. It's just not true. It's in our head. We have these thoughts. They might be disappointed in if you are, you know, setting a boundary with someone who you've never set boundaries with. They might be kind of surprised or disappointed, but having that conversation actually almost always results in an improved relationship.
Right. Well, and I think you're also kind of, like you said, you're kind of taking that guesswork out of, you know, they might be thinking this, they might be thinking that. Well, if we address it also head on, there's really no question there. So we don't really have to do the overthinking and all that self-doubt in our heads. We're actually taking the time and effort. And I think that's where you're seeing that appreciation and respect from other people, is that you're actually willing to have that conversation with them. And I think a lot of times we do, we just make those assumptions out of fear, and then we don't really know, but really in reality, they have their own boundaries that they need to create. They have their own schedules, their own families, their own things. So if you're addressing somebody, I think also in more of an honest way, I think that they would be more accepted and encouraged anyway, and how you want to maintain your boundaries and what you're doing. And the other thing that you had just said, and it's funny, I think a lot of times you hear people talking about like meal prepping for a week, where you're like, okay, figure out what you want to have for meals all week and plan all of that out. But we rarely do that with months ahead in our calendar. And so I think you're right. I think sometimes, you know, I look at the week ahead sometimes, but maybe that's not enough. Maybe we need to look at the month ahead. And like you said, factor in times for emotionally preparing or boundaries that we need and all of that. And those are some great points. I think a lot of times our busyness, or I don't even know if it's just busyness or just feeling like we always have to be there for everybody else, is that we rarely take the time to do that as women for ourselves. Would you agree with that?
100%. And, you know, this is where a mind frame shift is so important, because we buy into this societal expectation of women that we are always women. And what I mean by that is we are always there for our kids. We are always there for our spouse. We are always there for our work. We are always there for our friends and our coworkers. Just saying that, you realize that those things are non-compatible. You cannot always be there for your friends and your kids. It won't work. There's going to be a conflict. You can't always be there for your kids and your spouse, actually. There will be a conflict. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize, like, okay, first of all, the expectations that I have and that I've made in my mind are wrong. Like, they're false. I've bought into this false belief that if I say no or set boundaries with my kids or my spouse or my best friend, that somehow I am failing. I have failed them. So you have to separate those things. And then what happens is you start to actually see when people ask you for things, instead of like, oh gosh, why is this person asking me? If you think that your default has to be yes, you're angry when people ask you to do things. You're bitter. You actually might project that onto them.
Yeah.
But if you actually mind frame this in a way that you're like, oh, this person is asking me to do something, doesn't mean I have to say yes. It's a compliment. You shift it into being a compliment. And then you actually realize, like, I am a human who has needs like every other person. I have to take care of myself. And I am only going to say yes to this much of this. You know, I used to have this, for example, I used to have this thought. I have boys that play sports. My daughter dances and does cheer. And I was like, I'm going to be that parent that makes it to every single game and every single competition. I mean, do you know what, does this resonate with you?
Yeah.
I'm going to be that mom that's always in the stands. I'm never missing anything, you know? And now I have totally changed that. I'm like, I am going to make it to maybe 75%. If I make it to 70 to 75% in the year, I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. And this may shock you. Sometimes I actually stay home. Mm-hmm. Like just the other day, my son had an out of town tournament. I was all ready to go. I worked like a 70-hour work week or from Monday to Thursday, I was at the hospital for 70 hours. And we were going to leave right after work on Friday. And I'm rushing home. They're waiting for me. And the whole way home, I just felt this, like, this is not what you should be doing this weekend. You should not be going to this out of town tournament. You are exhausted. You have not slept for more than 6 hours. You are going to have a really crazy start to your week next week if you don't sleep. You need to set a boundary. So I went home and I said, you guys, I'm not going with you. And my husband and my son were like, okay, got in the car, had a great weekend, just the two of them.
Yeah.
It was my guilt that I had to process, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, there's nothing wrong with staying home and resting and like getting caught up on my house stuff and like being present for my daughter that weekend and my older son. Like, but in my brain, because that's what we've been conditioned, setting that boundary was bad. Setting that boundary was selfish. Setting that boundary was not being a good mom, because everyone that actually saw my husband was like, oh, where's Sasha? Is she working this weekend? And my husband's like, no, she's actually home resting this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's okay. That's okay to do.
Right. But I think also you and I can relate, because with a lot of kids, it does become a little bit crazier. And we do even extend that mindset of, I'm going to be everything to all of these kids all the time. Well, we know realistically we can't do that, especially when you have more than one, and especially when you have four. But I do think sometimes, and I caught this one week, in our church from our pastor, and it really kind of struck me. And it's almost kind of a little bit what you're talking about, especially in relation to kids and just being there for everybody else, is that it doesn't matter what the idol is we have in our life. And sometimes, but you know, unless it's not God, or, you know, like, it's not going to be healthy for the long haul. And he was pointing out how a lot of times parents have their kids as their idol. Mm-hmm. And that's what they feel like is their whole purpose and their whole mission. And it's not. And it mm-hmm. sounds like a terrible mother thing to say, but it was kind of something that I almost needed to hear to kind of give me that permission to set really good boundaries, even being their mother and their parent, to say, you know what, it's okay if I don't do this. Just like you, it's okay that I need to stay home and rest this weekend. I had a long week, and, you know, rather than just go guns blazing and be on an empty tank showing up for what, for who, we're not doing it for ourselves. We know it's not good for us. We're doing it just so it looks good. I mean, sometimes that's what we do, right? Because we feel guilty. We've got this guilt. And so I really appreciate you saying that, because it just made me think of when he sitting there that Sunday in service and thinking, you know, sometimes we can have our kids and this idol status of where we lose a part of actually who we are and what our real purpose is.
Yes. And, you know, I always think about how, you know, Christ had so many boundaries. Mm. If you think about it, he was so boundaried. I mean, he could have not slept, right? He could have been healing people and ministering to people and basically just talking to people and loving people 24 hours a day.
Right.
But he didn't. He withdrew. He had his small group of people that he that impacted the most, the disciples. He had meals, shared meals with them for hours. People could have looked and said, oh, you know, why isn't he healing this person? Why isn't he doing this work? Why isn't he ministering or talking or encouraging all these people? He had boundaries.
Yeah.
You think about it.
Yes.
And so I have to remind myself, like, I am not Jesus. I am a human. I even have less energy than Jesus, you know, and if Jesus had boundaries, then gosh darn it, I can have boundaries.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Well, before we wrap this up, because literally you and I could talk all day long. We have so many similar interests. It's not even funny, but I wanted to, before we do leave, ask you, what would you say is the main takeaway that you want women to have when they're finished with Brave Boundaries?
I want women to feel empowered and have permission to say no and to see how it is so important to their own health. It's just as important as going on a walk or eating healthy is having good time management skills, and that disappointing people is just a really short 20-second thing that people get over. And saying no might be disappointing in your brain, someone else, they're going to get over it. And so embrace those boundaries.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys. This is such an incredible book and resource. Like I said, I'm going to be just keeping it bedside because boundaries is something. And I think you would agree, Sasha, sometimes these things, especially when you are identifying where you are struggling with certain boundaries, they're not necessarily, it's not a one and done experience. It's something that you have to keep practicing to get good at and feel good about every time that you're doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you are finally ready to stop overthinking and start living, radically transform the way you see yourself and communicate with others, or just need better ways to stick to your goals, book a discovery call today to learn how confidence coaching can change your life. In the meantime, I will see you back here next week for more encouragement and inspiration.